In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Luke, the 17th chapter, and our Old Testament reading from Habakkuk, the 1st and 2nd chapters. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the prophets were first called seers because they were given to see heavenly visions. But you didn't have to be a prophet to see what Habakkuk saw. He saw pain and suffering. He cried for help, told the Lord on the unchecked evil. Justice is perverted. The law is paralyzed. The wicked surround the righteous and win the victory. And the Lord isn't doing anything about it. He sits idly by, silent, powerless, not himself. The poor are not defended. The needy are trampled upon. The idolaters get rich and boast in their idolatry. The murderers have no mercy. And there's none, no, not one, to stop them. Lord, what is wrong with you? Why is your world in such chaos? Why do you, who are perfect and true and holy, allow such evil and falsehood and discretion? How long, O Lord? Won't you hear us? Won't you answer us? Don't you see what I see? Don't you hate evil and love good? Aren't you just? Isn't your law true? That's Habakkuk's complaint. And it's yours too. Perhaps the difference between you and the prophet Habakkuk, though, is that you think you're too pious ever to talk to God in that fashion and in that way. Sure, you think it. You might even scream it into your own pillow at night. But you wouldn't be caught dead speaking that way in front of others. You care too much about what people think, especially your fellow Christians, what they think. But what do they think? Do others hold you upon a pedestal as a standard of faith? Do they daydream about believing as strongly as you do? See, we're so concerned about looking faithful that we can, and in fact often do, become unfaithful. This, I think, is what makes children so precious sometimes. Unlike adults, children say whatever's on their mind. They're not concerned about what others think or how it sounds or whether they come off rudely or not. You know the slogan, kids say the darndest things. And when life seems unfair to children, they cry. Whether it's appropriate or not, whether it makes sense or not, that's what they do. They if they don't get their way, if someone takes something that is not theirs, if they don't get what they have always wanted, they cry. But they don't cry just for the fun of it. They cry in order to be heard. In fact, they might even cry until they're heard and acknowledged, no matter how long that may take. These are the little ones that St. Luke holds up before our eyes this day as an image of faith. In fact, in the next chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, Jesus says, now they were bringing little infants to Jesus that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called to them, saying, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall by no means enter it. And in our reading for today, he says, it would be better for him if he had a millstone hung around his neck and were cast into sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. We cause the little ones to sin when we take them away from Jesus, when we don't bring them to church weekly, when we don't teach them the Bible stories, especially the ones that are depicted upon these beautiful new stained glass windows, all of which proclaim the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. God's message of salvation for you and Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. We cause these little ones when we don't teach them the text of the catechism and pray with them in the evening and in the morning and at meal times. Or when we tell them not to cry out to God, not to cast their burdens upon Him when things aren't fair. When we point them to themselves, what they need to do to fix it, how they need to strive, how hard they need to work to earn God's favor and love and salvation, we cause them to sin when we force them to be so outwardly pious that they can't cry out to God about what's really wrong, about all the assaults of the devil and the world and our own sinful flesh. But think about this. What would happen if Habakkuk didn't cry out? What would happen if the prophets were silent? If God didn't hear their prayers, their intercessions, their laments, where would they be if they were left alone to face the devil and the world and their own sinful flesh on their own? What would happen if their salvation depended entirely upon them and them alone? If everything depends upon you, then I wonder, how dependable are you? Have you done, and do you do always, exactly what you say you're going to do, exactly when you say you're going to do it? This is precisely why the prophets are there, to cry out to God, to hold God to His promises, to plead for justice against the enemy and mercy for those who suffer. The prophets not only speak the Lord's promises to His people, but they also speak the people's need to the Lord. And they don't hold back, not one ounce. They don't care what others think about them, whether they seem faithful or not, in the eyes of those who are around them and in the eyes of the world. They simply cry out. They speak to God. And then they trust that God will be for them whom He has promised to be. That's faith. And faith, even as small as clings to Jesus, it always, only ever clings to Jesus and His promises alone. Who He has promised to be and what He has promised to do. Infants, children, have that sort of faith, that cling to Jesus and whatever He says totally and utterly, I depend upon Him and Him alone sort of faith. A little child does not say, look at all the amazing things I have done and look at what I can do. Or look at the amazing person that I have become. You know what they say? They say, I can't. See, those are the words of a child. If they weren't, then why would you read books where a little train engine repeatedly says, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. I can't. Those are the words of a child. I can't fix myself. I can't make things better. I can't make all my problems go away. I need someone to help me. I need a Savior to protect me, a Savior to forgive me, a Savior to save me from sin and to rescue me from death and the devil. That's what it means to cry out, to call upon the name of the Lord. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed His blood for me. Die that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. That is a hard thing to admit as an adult, isn't it? We don't like to admit that. We pridefully, arrogantly, and idolatrously want to be known as the capable one, the dependable one, the one who always has everything figured out and has all of their life put together. You know, the rock, the fortress, the stronghold. And when it comes to our faith, we want everyone to see, to look, to admire, to imitate us. Look how great, look how faithful, how diligent, how strong a Christian I am. In essence, fear, love, and trust in me above all things. But Jesus, he will have none of our sinful idolatry. Rather, he asks his disciples a rhetorical question. Does the master thank the servant because he did what was commended? The rhetorical answer, of course, is not. No, the servant just did what he was told to do, what was commanded of him. He did his duty, we might say. So Jesus says, you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. And then comes the crying out. Lord, increase our faith. There you go. That's your cry. That's your faith talking. The moment you recognize how weak and how little your faith is the moment when your faith is actually the strongest. Because then you're not concerned about how you seem, but rather about how you actually are. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Now, children expect an answer, don't they, when they ask a question? They trust that God will be faithful, just as they trust their parents to be there for them when they are in need. And Habakkuk the prophet, he is the same way, which is why he says in chapter 2, verse 1, I will take my stand at the watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out and see what he will say to me. And just how does the Lord answer? Not in wrath, but in steadfast love and mercy. I hear you, he says. I have not forgotten you. It's coming soon. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Indeed, the day of Habakkuk that he saw has come. Justice has rained down from Mount Zion. Mercy has poured forth from the ends of Jerusalem. Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, humbled himself and became nothing. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for you. Jesus took the form of a servant, and he served you. He who was out of deep love and compassion for you, chose to take your sin and your punishment upon himself. And he was treated like a criminal. He was despised and rejected by men. He was whipped. He was spit on. He was pierced for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities. He was nailed to the cross and left for dead. Yet I tell you, by his service, by his suffering, by his bleeding, by his dying, You and I, who are the weakest and the lowliest and the neediest, bound to sin and death, we have been set free. By his wounds, you are healed. And in holy baptism, he has marked you with his cross on your forehead and on your heart. He has clothed you in a robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all your sin. You are his. This day, he has heard your cry for mercy, and he has turned your unbelief into faith by the blood of his own hands. To you who have sinned against him and cry out in repentance, Jesus says, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He increases faith. He invites you into his kingdom, into his eternal presence, to dine with him at his table, to eat and drink his very body and blood given and shed for you, and then to depart in his peace, knowing your sins are forgiven. Jesus is with you, and you have eternal life in his name. Thanks be to God that Jesus, who was tempted in every way just as we are, has overcome temptation and the tempter for us. Because of that, we are no longer slaves to sin or death or the devil. We are sons of God through faith. And if sons, then heirs with our brother Jesus Christ, our Lord. Beloved, this world isn't always as it seems. Suffering is all around. And yet, by the cross, we are free. This reality isn't beheld by our eyes, but rather by our ears. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. And the righteous shall live by faith. So, my dearest saints of Emmanuel and Holy Cross, come. Come to this place and hear the word of Christ proclaimed weekly, as it has been for the last 135 years. Come, fix your eyes upon Jesus, given in word and sacrament. He is your help. He is your strength. He is your rock. He is your fortress. He is your stronghold. He is your Lord and Savior. This is he who was dead but is alive again. Jesus the Christ. To him be glory forever. Amen.